KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies here in Atlantic. It's 70 degrees. We look forward to be partly warm and humid today with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing later this afternoon. The high around 90, some of those storms could be severe. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A restored vintage World War II era B-25N aircraft flew into Atlantic Thursday morning. The plane was part of a pristine collection of fully operational active aircraft and vehicles from World War II at the Fagan Fighters World War II Museum in Granite Falls, Minnesota. The collection is owned by ethanol plant builder Ron Fagan, who was in Atlantic for a business meeting at the Elite Octane ethanol plant currently under construction. Keith Woods, who works for Fagan Incorporated, is also connected to the museum. He talked about the history of the type of aircraft that rumbled over Atlantic on its way to the airport.
A lot of them were used for strafing, and those would have had multiple guns in the nose, that 650-millimeter guns and 170-millimeter for low-level strafing. And this one's got it set up with a bomb site for bombing missions.
The plane is named Paper Doll, and she did not actually see any action in World War II.
This was built pretty much at the end. This was built in 1945, and this was actually originally a trainer, so it was a TB-25, a trainer bomber. 25.
She got the name Paper Doll because the nose art in the day was typically risque, and the aircraft that arrived in Atlantic had a more modest nose art that shows a woman in a red one-piece bathing suit with a see-through cape.
You know, that's always a challenge when they buy an airplane and try to pick something with reasonable nose art and a name, and a lot of them, the nose art was a little flashy, shall we say, and the family didn't want that, so this is something they found that they thought they could live with. The actual Paper Doll flew 125 missions in Europe.
The plane was built to commemorate the original Paper Doll and her crew who flew the missions. The crew complement was five or six, depending on whether the mission was for strafing or bombing. If it was equipped with a bomb site, there were six crew members on board. Wood said the plane would have carried six 500-pound bombs or 12 250-pound bombs. She's also heavily armored with 50-caliber machine guns and more.
There's a 50-caliber on each side in the aft. Those are called waist guns. And then there's a 50-caliber in the tail. And then these, they're called blister guns. These are 70 millimeter. The turret is 250 cals. That's rotatable.
The plane has two large prop-driven Wright Cyclone R2600 cubic inch displacement engines with 14 cylinders, each making 1,750 horsepower each. And Wood said those engines are very loud, especially on takeoff, and that's when they consume the most fuel.
Here's the thing. Takeoff power, it burns a total of 420 gallons an hour. So we don't leave it at takeoff power for very long, really only about a minute or two. And then we come back. But at cruise, it burns 165 gallons an hour. And it carries almost 1,000 gallons of fuel. So it had pretty good range, at least 1,000-mile range.
It cruises at about 230 miles per hour. The Paper Doll that came into Atlantic yesterday was rebuilt by nearly a dozen people in Chino, California, over a period of about 3 years. The Fagan Fighters Museum currently has 14 vintage aircraft housed in its hangars. You can find out more under the same story. There's a link to their museum on our webpage at the news page at KJAN.com. Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Joni Ernst's regional directors will be holding traveling office hours throughout the month of July in all of Iowa's 99 counties. Representatives from Ernst's office will be available in counties throughout the state to assist Iowans with problems or questions about eligibility involving issues like Social Security, veterans benefits, military affairs, passports, immigration issues, and other federal programs. The senator herself will not be at the traveling office hours. If you're unable to attend those traveling office hours and still are seeking assistance with federal agencies, you can contact ernst.senate.gov to get in touch with one of her offices or submit a casework request. Locally, Ernst's traveling office will be held in the counties that I'm going to list for you here in the dates, times, and places. For instance, in Cass County on Thursday, July 13th from 9 until 10 a.m., and that'll be at the Atlantic Public Library's community room. They'll also be in Montgomery County from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. on July 13th at the Montgomery County Extension Office, in Pottawatomie County at the Walnut City Hall Thursday, July 20th from 2 until 3 p.m., and in Shelby County on Tuesday, July 25th from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. at the Harlan Public Library. A complete list of all the upcoming dates can be found on a link under this same story at the news page at KJAN.com. Republican Senator Joni Ernst is urging GOP leaders in the Senate to embrace transparency and give the public a chance to review the Senate GOP's alternative health care bill before the Senate votes on the plan.
Hopefully, we will be able to have a time period where we do receive feedback after the language is released.
Ernst is among the Republicans in the U.S. Senate who've been meeting privately to come up with an alternative to the health care bill that passed the U.S. House in April. However, Ernst says there's no document yet to release.
We don't have language. And what I am hoping is that language that will be presented to us includes all of the items and discussions that we have had in our informal work group.
Earlier this week, Ernst sat beside President Trump at a White House meeting to discuss health care, the health care bill. President Trump reportedly called the bill that passed the House mean. Ernst isn't joining Trump and offering negative analysis of the House bill, but she says Republican senators will make revisions necessary.
We really have been working on our own thoughts and ideas in the Senate in our informal work group. We're making sure that we are representing our constituents in our own home states and finding a way that we can best serve those constituents.
Unlike the House bill, Ernst suggests Senate Republicans are going to try to find a way to make sure Americans don't lose their insurance policies because of pre-existing conditions. She says Iowans tell her affordability is their number one concern when it comes to health insurance. Kim Reynolds has made it semi-official. She intends to run for governor of Iowa next year. Reynolds ascended to the governor's chair from her post as lieutenant governor last month, replacing Terry Branstad after his confirmation as U.S. ambassador to China. She's been widely expected to run, but had yet to make a formal announcement. A news release from her campaign organization said Thursday, quote, "The governor and lieutenant governor intend to be candidates for governor and lieutenant governor in 2018. A final decision and a formal announcement will be made in the coming months." Her running mate will be the state's acting lieutenant governor, Adam Gregg. She named him to replace her, but only in an acting capacity in order to avoid any legal fight over her power. The new leader of the largest agency in state government vows to improve morale among frontline social workers and conduct a bottom-to-top review of Iowa's child welfare system. Thursday was Jerry Foxhoven's first day as director of the Iowa Department of Human Services.
Part of my challenge will be to work with the people in that system right now and for all of us to step back and say, what are we doing that's working? What are we doing that's not working? And if it's not working, we need to change it.
An outside consultant already has begun a review of cases involving two teenage girls who died after being adopted by their foster families just a few hours after the agency's director. Foxhoven says he knows about the cases, and that's what he's learned from media reports.
These are terrible tragedies. They're awful. It sickens me and shocks me. But I certainly know if kids have come to our attention and they end up the way these kids ended up, that we need to look and see how did this happen and what do we do to change it so it doesn't happen again.
Foxhoven is a 64-year-old attorney and Drake Law School professor who spent his career as a child advocate. He led several groups that advised the department on the foster care system and juvenile detention. Foxhoven says after a conversation with Governor Kim Reynolds, he got firing him up about taking the reins at the DHS.
I felt like going to the Kentucky Derby and being one of the horses behind that gate saying, open that gate, I want to run. And so I'm excited about it.
Reynolds told reporters earlier this month that she was looking for a DHS director who, quote, wasn't afraid to do things differently. Foxhoven says he's a mission-driven person, and the governor gave him a pretty simple mission.
What she didn't say was, keep me out of the newspaper, we're looking bad, help me look good. She never said that. What she did say to me is, tell us whatever we need to do to make it safer for kids in Iowa. And so that made it really easy to say, I want to do this.
Foxhoven grew up in Yankton, South Dakota, in what he described as a working-class family.
I never doubted in my mind that my mom and dad loved me. And so looking at kids where they don't have that, it was pretty easy to say, I want to step up for them. Families who are struggling, being able to take care of those kids and provide them what they know they really want to, easy for me to step up for them. And people who are stepping forward to say, I'm willing to make a difference for those kids, I'll foster them or adopt them or whatever, pretty easy for me to say that's somebody that I want to help.
Foxhoven got a degree from Morningside College in Sioux City, majoring in history and political science. After earning a law degree from Drake University, he stayed to work in central Iowa. That is a check of our news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.